Hi, and welcome to episode 51 of Fully Boosted, a War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Grant.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Brad.
I'm Pete.
Yeah, today we got Brad Skyping in because he loves work so fucking much that he didn't want to come over.
Wasn't it his girl's dinner that actually made him late?
It's possible.
Okay.
Well, I was working late combined with that she cooked, so I couldn't just go right from work to there. So. Yeah.
That's totally fair. You did reclaim. You did keep your title of third, though. I did notice that. You didn't let Pete beat you, even over Skype.
But I didn't say I'm third. I'll save it for the end.
Okay. I think that's fair. So, news and announcements. Just reminders. Bocor Brawl, October 21st. Does that sound right?
That sounds right.
Exact date.
Yes, that is correct.
You can look it up. Three-man WTC-style team tournament at a Moose Lodge. Sign up. There's only 16 spots. Check out Not Snakes Gaming on YouTube. And I think that's all we got for that. No, we had an insider today, Pete. So fill me in on what happened.
Yeah, Phil Grant in.
So, yeah, Privateer Press dropped the fact that by September, they are going to be releasing the rest of the themes that they promised. So the insider today was a preview of a new Kador theme, and that is the something of winter, Wolves of Winter.
Yeah,
sound
yeah
right?
Wolves of Winter. Yes.
Yeah, I was trying to find the name here. Basically, it is your Grey Lord and your Doom Reaver. Wolves of Winter. I'm sorry. So it is your Doom Reaver and Grey Lord theme. So they teased what the benefits are going to be. So for every 20 points of Grey Lord and Doom Reaver model units, you can get a free command attachment or free small or medium base solo. Additionally, one unit of Grey Lord or Doom Reavers will gain apparition. So that's pretty cool. And additionally, friendly model units in the army can begin the game affected by the Warcaster's upkeep spells.
Which is mildly hysterical.
Why?
Well, if you take a ton of Doom Reavers.
Oh, sure.
The Grey Lords can get apparition as well?
Yes.
It's one unit. If I remember correctly, it was one unit you pick every turn.
Yes.
Gets, and it's one non-Warcaster Grey Lord Doom Reaver unit.
So the one thing, I was part of a couple different chats when this kind of was first revealed. And while the Doom Reaver list is certainly interesting, I think the real list I might get the most benefit out of it is like, Zerkova to all the Turnians again.
My only problem with it is it doesn't fix the Turnians problem that they're having in the current meta, and it doesn't fix the Doom Reaver problem that they're having in the current meta. The Doom Reavers are just going to get shot off the table still, and the Turnians are PAL 12 and have no way of increasing that damage. So if they've got flak infantry, you're going to absolutely roll them to pieces. Your horses are going to threat 9 million miles because of apparition. You're not going to be able to tie them down. And then they're going to get their reposition. It's great. You throw that into armor 20 Banes and you're not going to kill anything.
What does Zerkova feat do for the spells, though?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's
only
to hits.
The only thing she does is she can boost it to hits. And considering they're magic 6, they're going to need that. But, and it's great, and it worked great in Mark II. It was phenomenal in Mark II, but the armors weren't as high as they are now. Most infantry that people are throwing on the table is armor 20, or they're throwing all jacks, which the Doom Reavers play great into that. The high armor the Doom Reavers are phenomenal into, but they just get shot off the table.
Hmm.
So a couple things. Obviously there will be some type of CID associated. I have to believe that there will be.
Yep.
Secondly, we are now in a interesting thing, especially with local steamrollers, in which you can bring two lists, but you're only ever going to have to play one, unless the TO changes things. So is this enough of a threat to force a list chicken type of situation for your opponent?
In that usage, I'll be honest, I thought about taking Kador to whatever steamroller this becomes available at, whenever this becomes legal. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about doing Kador because I'm going to take a generalized, either probably Strakov 2 or Butcher 3 list, and then every Doom Reaver I own. Because I think Ghost Fleet, the Bane list can't play into the Doom Reaver list.
So,
because they get out threaded so far.
Right. I just want to be a realist with you real quick. There's the two most popular, I would say, Dark Coast lists are Gorshe 2, who will be able to win the long game due to his feet, or Lich 2, who's going to put clouds down to make it so you're not allowed to play.
Shit.
Yeah.
Just to be realist, there's other people running other versions of Dark Host which don't have the control elements to it. But the more popular ones, I would say, are either the attrition-based ones in Gorshe 2 or the semi-control Lich 2 are going to be the most prevalent. The other option who's kind of up there is Scar 1. So that one will probably be a game if you have, like, your Doom Reavers versus Scar 1 Dark Host. But of the other two...
So what were the two casters? The two casters, I think, immediately that everyone started talking about was Zarkova 1 and Old Witch 2.
Right. Yes, absolutely. I mean, Zarkova 1, I think, at least in my opinion, is the better option. She's the more reliable-ish option, especially if you're going to use this as an off-list, which is what I think it really where it's going to shine because of the 4 3-inch cloud wall. Mm-hmm. And you can still fit a little bit of shenanigans in there with her spell assassination works with the Horror Frost and... Or not Horror Frost. The spray. Anyway, she's got some interesting little plays where if you even once you get her into a corner, she can still pretty much kill you. And the cloud wall, it's a massive cloud wall with 2017 terrain. It's going to be huge. Now, of course, you have to be in that when if you're trying to do that, Fenris becomes the most important model in the army because otherwise the Doom Reavers don't have relentless charge and they can't deal with terrain.
Well. With her, I mean, she has Ghostwalk, though, right?
So. And how are you going to target Doom Reavers with that?
Yeah, right, it's Doom Reavers. Womp, womp.
Womp, 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 womp.
So, one thing that Pete and I were talking about today, because there seemed to be quite a bit of salt coming out from the... So, not everybody. There was a lot of people that were excited, because it's a new theme, but there was a lot of, like, this is not what I wanted. This isn't going to be great. And so Pete and I were talking, and it's like, at this point, and I was a big offender of this when themes came out, we have to stop jumping, unless it's on paper, you can look at that and go, there's not one caster I could take in that and make that good. We ought to stop jumping to this conclusion
so
that
I have to interrupt you. You want gamers, when they see something early, to be reasonable and logical.
Yes, isn't that expectation of
Does this work for video game gamers? Does this work for RPG gamers? Yeah. Does this work for tabletop gamers? Shit, no, I think even on a pre-release of a board game, the board game nuts would still go bonkers.
I was a terrible offender that I'm saying, and Pete and I were talking about this, we got to give it time. We got to give it time to grow and get some legs and find its place in the meta.
I'll be honest. If we were still in the everybody, if all you saw from Signar, and maybe this isn't true because all their stuff is way, way too many guns, but if all you saw was the 9 million Jack list, the 15 Galvanizer list, the Doom Reaver theme, where if you like play an old school, someone who has Mad Dogs of War and just puts that list right on the table, would do phenomenally well because you're going to send 2 or 3 Doom Reavers in and you're going to remove every heavy from the table. So... It's one of those things where I think it's less about the themes being meh and more about what else is going on right now. If they came out with a theme that gave RFP to a bunch of stuff when the Mad Dogs were going nuts, it wouldn't do anything. If they came out with a theme right now that gave RFP to everything, everybody would be like,
It always depends on what the meta is.
But that's kind of my point. I think that this is the power level I kind of would like to see themes at. It's good. It gives a really neat, kind of cool ability, something very, very drastically different than what you would normally see, which is that apparition move. It gives the free points, which at this point now, you're kind of all in. Every theme has to do that, or then you will have a theme that I think is just...
If you get a theme that has no free points.
Correct. So... I think that could be very interesting. It's certainly a little more fluffy, maybe.
Pete, get in here with me.
So, yeah. You know, my wife Trish plays Kador. She's super excited to actually try the list out because it is different. Additionally, if you take just what's been spoiled on this theme by itself, it is very easy to pick it apart and say, oh, that's a bad theme. Doom Reavers are still overcosted. It dies to this, this, and this. But that one theme is going to be part of a drop of 12 to 14 other themes.
That could be essentially a whole new meta, right?
Yeah, yeah. It could totally change the way things are played and what list we see.
I think it's more reasonable to say that it will be a completely new meta, not that it may.
Yep. No, that's fair. I'm just, I don't like to speak in definitives about the future, but I think you're probably right.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, I'm very much on your side, Grant, and I also see what Ryan's saying, in that reactions are always going to be, I think, much more volatile than what actually happens.
Of course they're. Look at what happened with all these other themes. Look at what happened with even Ghost Fleet or Oracles or Heavy Metal or...
You can even go back further than that. Look at Evolutionary Elementalist. That theme list was not new when that came out.
Yeah, well, no, that was a sleeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're totally right. Like, it's, you have to just, it's got to get time to develop and have people play it and figure out what's good in it and how it plays into the meta.
I will say what I am most excited about, which I'll be honest, there was definitely a period there where I was starting to get very, very I'm going to sell off one of my entire factions and I'm just, you know, blah, whatever. I can't get games in. I'm excited. I'm really excited about them dropping all these themes, and especially because they even put the caveat of, well, they'll go through the CID eventually, but we're just getting them out there right now. I mean, I hope they stick to that, where they go back and are like, this needs to be worked on. But just to get it out there, I find that very exciting.
Anything else on this, guys?
I think the theme force is going to be fine. I think that people are excited about playing all their Doom Reavers again, but mm-hmm. I think it's going to be something that just offers more options and allows players to bring different list pairs.
Yep. Pete, what else came out of that? The next CID is going to be what?
Yeah. So we had Primecast episode drop today. I quickly got in there and listened to it. The main takeaways... the next CID cycle is obviously going to be the 12 Factions of Christmas, but of interest, they stated that they're going to be testing one or two theme forces, and that will include Sons of the Tempest. We'll be going through CID. So,
nice.
Exciting. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
What would they have to give the Gun Mages to make you play them again?
Anything but CRA.
I will say that, you know what would be really good into the Doom Reaver theme?
Gun mages.
A shit ton of gun mages.
CRA just doesn't cut it, and with the way the shot types work on gun mages, it just does not work. Because if you do a CRA with the guy in the back and he's out of the 10-inch range, he doesn't get to do anything, and he can't snipe, but he can't crit brutal. Or however it works, it gets really goofy.
All right, because they have to pick the same one?
I don't even remember.
They don't have to all pick the same one.
No, there's some weird way that it works with the CRA where, like, one of the guys, where you can get screwed and, like, they can't shoot. Forget how it is.
I think it's something to do with if the liege chooses snipe, because you don't. One person makes the attack, and then everyone that participates in the CRA adds +1/+1 to hit, +1 damage.
Oh, so they don't get to pick a shot type.
Exactly.
Right. So they also don't get snipe.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah. So that's
okay. Yeah. No, that really plus fuck you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah. So it doesn't work. So
no.
I don't know.
That would, but, you know, and they can't just say, yes, you can do that, because then the front guy could brutal and the back guys could snipe and get the effects of brutal.
Yeah. So I don't know what it is, but it's not that. get that out and give me something else, and it might be good. Maybe throw another character jack or something in there. I'm not entirely sure. But, and that was it, right?
I think we hit. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Cool.
You know, they talked a lot about Company of Iron, so if you're really interested in that, go check out the episode. Additionally, we found out their PP is sending a presence to both Nova, which is exciting for us, and PAX Unplugged, which is very exciting for us, since that's right in our backyard.
Yep, that's right in Philly, so that's super exciting. And Nova, I mean, so many of us and that go down there. So.
I was already looking forward to PAX once they said War Machine was going to be there, and then now that they're actually coming, PP's coming out, I was like, yes, thank you.
Yep, it's going to be sweet. So let's get into our topic today. So... it's been about a year since Mark III, a little over, and I had Pete go back, and since he's the intern...
We don't like him.
I had him go back and do the homework of suffering through an hour and 45-minute episode where we did faction rankings at the beginning of Mark III. I know this is kind of on the heels of Chain Attack doing their series, and of course they did it great, so...
Well, they also got real people to talk about each faction.
So go listen to that, because it's worth it and it's really good.
Yeah, it's totally worth it. And it's great.
However, you know, we're gonna scrub it out and do our point of view again with a year into the game and the addition. Excuse me. So, Pete, I'm almost embarrassed to ask this, but let's start with where we were at a year ago.
All right,
in our eyes.
I have to do one quick little sort, because the way you guys did it before is you gave a letter grade, and
right.
each host gave a letter grade.
For the record, I was not there.
No, yeah. Neither Pete nor Brad were here, so don't let the opinions of Fully Boosted prior to episode 26 do not reflect
Pete
Ciaretti
no.
or Brad Park, except since on the two episodes
since,
Brad Park was on.
Since we are talking about that previous episode, I believe I tried to give that exact disclaimer on that episode and was shot down mercilessly.
What do you mean you were on that episode?
No, that the fully opinions of each coast does not represent the opinions of Fully Boosted or some shit like
that. I do not recall that.
So. Yeah, okay.
So I'm going to start with the bottom because the top is really interested given the inside knowledge of the greater Philadelphia meta. So at the bottom, we have COC. They were given an FDF. Then we have Scorn, D minuses across the board. Minions, C plus, B minus, C plus, and then Legion hovering in the C pluses. Cricks, C's across the board. Let's see. Then we had Circle and Mercs. They got B's. Protectorate and Trolls got B pluses. And then we had Signar at an A minus, B plus, A. Kador at an A plus. And then Retribution was an A plus from all three hosts.
Trolls, we gave a B plus. What the fuck were we doing?
At the very beginning
they had an unkillable caster that could kill your entire army.
And keep in mind, we did this, what was it, Pete, somewhere
it
in October.
Yeah,
so like themes were
to be honest, I don't think Convergence has changed. If you take their theme away, they go right back down to the F or D.
No, but I think the theme props them up a little, and I think we'll get into that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you take their theme away, they go right back down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you give them their theme again, I think they're right back up into the middle again.
Yeah. So, no, we'll get into it. We're just going to get into ours.
Yeah, so hold on. Yeah. So I think the major thing we have to recognize here is that, one, we are now in a brand new scenario packet. Right?
True.
Steamroller 2017. Privateer Press has created a soft, it's very soft, but a army composition algorithm has been injected into the game if you're playing Steamroller. Additionally, we have a brand new faction that was just released, and we have theme forces,
which have
changed the face of the meta. So.
Plus, and you go back, and you have to also, same kind of deals, have the caveat of we had the Scorn.
Yep,
re-release. Mm-hmm. I'd almost posit we're basically in like Mark 3.5. Not even it does kind of feel like a new edition with the theme forces.
We said this multiple times, but that they kind of said that when this first came out, that like give us a year or so to get.
They did, didn't they?
They said give us time to see how everything comes out and where we go with it, something to that effect.
So that's an interesting thing. Should Mark III have launched with this big dump of theme forces that we're about to get?
Yes.
Ew.
No question. Mm. No, I think that this was always I think they've said that this was always the plan, right? To have all these theme forces and have army construction this way?
There was always a plan for them to exist, not for them to come out in the beginning of Mark III.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, because they were going to come out. That's how they were going to have the theme books.
I think if you went right from where we were theme-wise from Mark II into the themes now in Mark III, I think so many more people would have just bailed on this game.
Really?
That was one thing people that's one of the biggest complaints people had of going back into themes was we just got out of this and now we're going right back into themes with free points.
Yeah, free points was a huge point of contention.
So I think if you didn't have this time frame, I think people would have fucking bounced. I think a lot more people would have fucking bounced. Does anybody else feel that way? Like, I mean, does that seem reasonable?
I guess it makes sense, yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, I like the direction they're going with getting them all out now. It'll be interesting to see how much of it is off the rails in terms of being too powerful or underpowerful. Mm-hmm. But I think when you redesign... I don't want to say redesign the whole game, but when you change nearly every model going into Mark III for either points costs or what the model does, to then create theme forces that have another layer of changing what the model does would have been a recipe for almost certain disaster.
It did let them get they did kind of let them pare down the variables, see where everybody was at.
And then they reintroduced different themes. I'll be honest,
if they came out with a bunch of themes and just said, hey, here you go, Scorn, but they didn't have that army rebalance, that would have been some shit on a stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my next question is how many of these themes out the gate are going to be considered quote-unquote playable?
Yep.
You know? Because obviously they're looking at bringing in new model types for each theme.
I think the answer is out the gate, all of them. I mean, we had this on the
all of them and none of them.
We had the podcast last time, and the question that I asked was which theme force would you never play? Is it never worth bringing? And right. We had a tough time naming any. I think Sons of the Tempest was the one we were kicking, but even that one, you can find justifications to bring it.
Well, like we just said, the new Doom Reaver thing, if someone's coming at you with five squads of Doom Reavers, there's not much better than a bunch of murder ponies and gun mages as a hard counter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at the same time, that for as much crap as that one that you can play all the Doom Reavers in, you get a lot of Kator players saying that it doesn't do enough for them. There's some armies, though, that might not be able to handle five Doom Reavers or five units of Doom Reavers that well.
Agreed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, shit. I mean, absolutely. I was kind of saying that the other army that you can make out of that theme force is probably all the Turnians. I think the Turnians, for the most part, just lose to all the Doom Reavers.
Well, yeah. Yeah, they can't target anything.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
For as much crap as we can give any theme force, whatever you think the worst theme force is, I think it's almost impossible to say you couldn't find a list pair that couldn't make it work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's if you were to take all the theme forces out of the game, right? I think it's you're hard pressed to find models or units that never serve a purpose anywhere ever.
I will admit they did a pretty good job with that in Mark III.
Yeah.
There's certain ones what's the Menoth unit that's just fucking.
Yeah, they are pretty bad. The
hot trash.
The AoE guys that are short range and they're pretty
deliverers
bad.
Are not
high range but shitty pal Divers and AoEs were shitty. Yeah, it's bad.
All right. I mean, but we found one.
They can get some work. They can get some work done with Krios 1.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh god, here we go.
But is that? Yeah. But is that? But like, would is you it, really well, take well, them no, so there's, over there's, like any of the other things?
There's the exception that proves one. The rule. They've done a pretty good job. I will say, since they started with the theme force, I've said it. I think almost every time we've talked about theme forces is that I just wish everybody had a bunch of them.
It looks like we're about
so
to get there.
I'm actually really now. My question will be: is this going to be where all the big boy factions get 10? All the newbies get 5, and then Convergence and Grimkin only have 2.
Well, that's actually interesting. If we can, so Pete, they said it was how many? 14?
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Oh, they did. Okay. For some reason, I had a number in my mind, but I don't know.
I think you pulled that one out of the thin air.
Yeah, I think I made that up. All right.
Yeah, I don't remember that number at all.
Okay, good.
Tangent over.
It's gonna be great.
Well, it feeds into the decisions that we made because we're gonna rank.
Yeah.
We're ranking the factions in tiers basically.
A tier.
But this is all going to change, I guarantee you, come September. And so, hopefully we can come back and look at this in a future episode and understand how the meta is shaping. So what we did was we defined 2, 4, 5 different tiers. So the very top tier, we're calling it defines the meta. You know, these are the factions that you have to have an answer for. They are asking the questions, and if you don't have an answer for them, you're definitely not going to you're not going to place in a tournament at all. The next tier down is Dominates. So this is the type of tier that, it's not quite the top of the tier, but again, you're going to have a hard time coming up against it. The third level is Challenges. So these are those factions that you should probably be aware of, but if you have a good enough awareness of the meta and you've built your list right, you should be okay. The fourth level is 50-50. We call that 50-50 because there's a 50% chance you're going to see them in a tournament and a 50% chance you're not. And
yeah.
Finally, the last tier, I named this one. I called it the Bigfoot sighting. So these are the factions that when you walk in, turn in your list and see what everyone's playing, you're like, oh my gosh, I just saw a Sasquatch.
These are the ones that when you get up, if you see them at a tournament, you're gonna have to go to War Room because you're not gonna know what they do at all.
Now
go ahead.
The top three we're gonna consider as strength based. Obviously, in the Bigfoot sightings, at least the way I feel about it, there is a chance that you could go out and if you're a skilled enough player, you can sweep with it. But we're just not seeing it.
Right, right. So real quick, before we get into that, I want to run through what I compiled, all the factions on discount, all the tournaments that reported on discount games, except team tournaments. I didn't factor them in.
They're a different meta.
Totally different meta. And I gave everybody a point each time they came in first, second, or third. And this is just to have something to base what, you know, we all are going off of. So coming in last, and is Scorn at 3. That's a big part because of where they were at the beginning of Mark 3. I think they got their rework around February.
These are only Mark 3 numbers, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yep. Minions at 4. Next is Cock at 5. Trolls at 7. And I think a lot of that was pre-theme. I can't recall exactly. Mercs at 12. That's a good mix in there. But probably a good amount of Kingmakers in there. Menoth at 13. Again, mainly pre-themes, but there's some, seem to be a little more in Europe than anywhere else. Krix at 15. Again, and that's mostly since Ghost Fleet. There wasn't a lot of Krix pre-themes. Rhett at 16. There's pretty scattered. Circle at 18. A lot of that is with Tuna and Wyrmwood pre-nerf. Legion at 19. Pretty scattered. Kador at 23, before and after Mad Dogs, and Signar at 26, again, all over the place.
Which I find interesting that, and it seems to, at least in my head, makes the most sense that Signar, Kador, and Legion would be scattered all over the place, because I feel like those are the, certainly the most overall, the themes have only helped them.
Yes.
But that said, they were doing just fine before.
If you took
too,
themes out, those three factions,
I think they do just fine.
Fine.
Yeah, I think they work fine without themes.
Okay. Yeah, the, so let's
the,
go ahead,
the one
Brad.
Thing just to note, when you guys are saying it's scattered, meaning that the win the, or their placings were taking place throughout the whole year. It wasn't like groupings within a couple months span.
Right. Like Circle was pretty grouped together in the first half of Mark III, right? And then not a lot since then. Whereas Kador and Signar are very scattered. Krix, same thing. You didn't see a lot of Krix.
Well, let's look at it. Signar's themes. Pretty much just always in a good place. Krix, Ghost Fleet has pushed them to the absolute
wall.
Yeah,
I think like 9 of those 15 were
Banky. Yeah. Kador's been all over the place. Plus, they had that run of having Mad Dogs untouched for a little while. Legion's been all over the place. And now they have the Oracles list that's running kind of nuts. Mercs, I'm actually surprised to see Mercs have
Mercs
that many.
Mercs was my surprise that when I got to Mercs and they were 12,
and
I
that
was shocked.
And that was mixed throughout the
it
year?
Was, yep.
If I can ask one question, if you remember as you were looking through it, not that we noted this down, how many of those were Charles Soong?
More than one, but it was actually, there was some other, it was other people. It wasn't like six of them were him.
Well, that's,
I don't think.
That's what I figured Convergences was that you got the two really good Convergence players.
I think it, again, I think a lot of them were spread. I think where it got really convoluted is when you got into like JVM, Banky, even Aaron Whaley, and then Signar was like Jarl, and then, what's it, Dunford. And then Kador was Chris Davies, and then a bunch of people. Like, I'm not trying to like single anybody out, or leave anybody out.
And to be fair, too, if you see somebody, if you see one of the like the crazy top level players start targeting in on a faction, there's a reason they're doing it.
Yep. So, all right, so let's jump in. We'll just go right through PP order. So, therefore, we're going to start with Signar. I will go ahead and start. I put Signar in the defines the meta category. They've been good pretty much the whole edition. They have a very deep bench of casters that can get played in both the theme forces that are very strong. They're, I don't want to say propped up by the themes, but they're significantly helped by the fact that they have two strong themes and some strong caster and choices to go with that. And Haley 2 is still Haley 2. It's one of the factions you have to be thinking about when you go to a tournament. You have to be thinking, Haley 2, heavy metal, what am I going to do?
So, I actually also put Signar into defines the meta. Pretty much the same kind of general gist. Haley 2 is still Haley 2, but I feel like they have such a plethora of answers.
They do.
That it's not so much that there's that one, it's not like there's the big scary thing in there, that there's nothing in there that is just like, oh my God. But it's the fact that they can participate well on every level.
Yeah.
Before themes, with themes, without themes, with all the themes that are coming in, they have pretty much a solution or some kind of shenanigans to make you worry about something else to keep them in the fact that when you're doing a list pair and you're like, all right, I need to make sure I can play into gun lines. Well, when you think gun lines, you're thinking Signar.
They can play into almost, they have answers to almost anything. They're pretty generalist.
100% agree.
Yeah, I don't I don't think there's a whole lot more that needs to be added. I think things to point out that haven't been said yet when it comes to how they define the meta. We can look at things that have come out fairly recently. In Kane 3, he asked a couple things that have existed in the past, in that how do you not lose to like a ranged assassination. The thing that changes up is how little attacks your opponent needs to get the assassination in because of how all the guns are turned to 11. So, I mean, that exists in a lot. Like, that style of assassination where there's only a very few range attacks that are important to kill a caster exists. But the fact that you can name a caster that is the one that you're worried about, I think shows how there's just that little bit of separation of power.
Pete, anything we missed?
No, and I was just going to say, additionally, we are on the heels of a Trencher invasion with the Trencher mm-hmm. theme force that's coming out. So I think that's only going to strengthen, especially in this SR27 meta, that you're going to have a Signar pair is going to be Trencher theme and then heavy metal.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal, actually.
And to be honest, with infantry coming, Storm Division isn't necessarily going anywhere.
No.
A lot of people have thought about answers.
A lot of Electro Leaps sound good to yeah. a lot of infantry.
Who's next? The next one is Menoth. Ryan, go ahead.
I was going to put these guys in Challengers, but I think I'm actually going to put them in 50-50 right now because we're doing it as a snapshot right now. The Menoth community in general is not in love with any of their theme forces that anybody's really seen. So I personally, from the outside looking in, look at them and think that they're in a good spot and that they should be more dominant than they are. But I'll be honest, I think there's a good chance you just don't see them, especially the last big thing I was at was the Southern Ontario. And there was plenty there, but I only ran into one the whole weekend.
Well,
and it was somebody who was kind of new.
So, I mean, if I can ask, how many games did you play total? I mean, not to put you down, but how many games did you play during the Southern Ontario Open, like in all?
9 or 10, probably.
Right. I mean, how many times should you expect to play any one given faction?
That's fair. But I don't know. That's why I'm not sure exactly where to put them. I don't know if it's just me kind of buying in on the community's poo-poo-iness on them right now.
So, but. I mean, even with none of us being, I think, dedicated Menoth players, I think the one thing that at least I can kind of use to base my opinion, not so much even on the national scene, but even traveling around like the larger tri-state area to Steamrollers. I mean, I'm fortunate enough at least right now to like make 2 or 3-ish a month, and seeing a Menoth player in the room is like expected, but more than the one local guy wherever score you're going to is kind of an oddity. I mean, I agree with you in their placement in 50-50. It might not be representative of their actual strength if you were to build lists with them, but more so maybe an overall perception of what people think their strengths are.
Well, let's be fair here. I mean, perception is everything.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're talking about someone who has an actual mathematical, like, big difference. I think in all of the middle factions, perception of the faction is going to matter for almost as much as power level.
Yeah, so I put them in challenges because I did play them some, and so did my son at the beginning of Mark III. And, you know, I recently played against it for the channel. So I think they present a challenge, but I would also agree with that 50-50. It's hard to rank things and put them into a definitive, because, you know, Brad's right. Like, I go up to a store up north and there's a local protectorate guy. We go down to Nirvana and you don't see him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm also a hermit. Let's face this. I am at full hermit status at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you played in the store where fucking Purrier is, you probably think Menoth is, you know, top tier or challenges at least. Pete, just out of curiosity, I also put them in 50-50. What do you think puts them above into the challenges, or are they like really an in-betweener for you?
So they have the tools to answer Crix very mm-hmm. effectively. I saw that up at the Rochester War Machine Weekend qualifier. Severius 2 is uniquely designed to shut down Ghost Fleet.
Yeah, totally.
So if you get a good player with the luck and the right tools, they're going to make it to the top table.
And I'll kind of echo that as well. When we were talking about the in our questions episode, I forget how the question was worded, but like when it was asking me like what I didn't want to see across the table, kind of by and large as a faction, Manoth is one of the more challenging games for Krix Army, regardless of what casters either side are playing. Manoth just has tools that Krix have a tough time dealing with.
That's why you're going to switch to play Manoth and your boy Resnik 1.
No, I thought about it more. I built some lists and I got uninspired again, so I'm just going to stick with Krix.
I feel like that's how every Manoth player is.
That did not take long.
No, they built lists like, this is garbage.
I just like Krix too much. I was like excited for Manoth for like about 2 hours.
For me, the challenge of playing Protectorate is the you have to ensure that you're performing all of your turns in the exact right order. I can't tell you how many times I'd activate a Jack and then go, "Oh crap! I wanted to battle him." So it's one of those factions that if your skill is up there, you're gonna definitely rock some people. But if you like get distracted very easily and you know you're just it's tough. It's very tough.
Sure. All right, Brad. Let us know where you put Kador.
I would say Kador, to me right now, is in Dominates. I think they have fantastically strong showings, but if I was to go through and try to find a list or a theme force that I think you as a player should not only have to build around, but like expect to see, I don't know if I'm putting Kador as like the thing I'm worried about the most. I think it's very easy to say they have probably one of the strongest just generalist lists that they could bring nearly against anything in like Vlad 1 Rockets with 3 to 4 heavies. And while that list is tremendously powerful, I think it's a bit of a generalist list that will lose into hard skews. And if that's like their like most convincing list of their power and consistency, I don't know if that itself is shaping the meta around it. I think they're still tremendously strong. I think their options are quite deep. I think their Jacks can do a lot, especially under Karchev or Harkovich. But I don't know if they do enough to be the one that is shaping what other lists will bring because of them.
100% agree. I put them wait, you put them in challenges?
No, Dominates.
You put them in Dominates.
Oh, Dominates. Yeah, I put them in Dominates. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I don't build a list to worry about Vlad all the Rockets, but when I run into Vlad all the Rockets, it sucks. So you know, I don't think they're asking questions, but they're not hard enough to be meta defining.
So I think you guys had some good points. However, I believe they are meta defining because I think one of the things maybe you don't have to go, what do I do into Vlad 1 Rockets? But I mean, there have been two theme lists in Mark 3 that are two lists in Mark 3 already at a Kador that has literally turned everybody upside down and made everyone go, what the fuck? The Marauder spam, the Mad Dog spam, excuse me, then Marauders, and Vlad 1 Rockets. And even the Harkovich list and the themes, I mean, Kador is like, to me, the poster child, although I still would rank Signar above them. I think they're the poster child of meta defining. They have good casters, good jacks, good troops, and their themes are all good.
So it's so funny for me because at the beginning of Mark III, I would have completely agreed with you. But if we're talking about the meta as it stands now, I think they are right back where they were in Mark II. It's just up.
Which is?
Everybody's up the scale. They're still in Dominates.
Okay.
If you build a really good Andy Krix list and I drop a Kador troop list into you, you've got all the answers for me. If you build an anti-range list and I drop a Vlad Rockets into you, you've got most of the answers for me. If they have fallen back into being this jack of all crap. Now they're really good at it. And I kind of find it as this is one of the things that always drew me to Kador is that you can fucking do anything with the faction. I mean, absolutely anything. In a way, it's almost their Achilles heel. It was in Mark II, no matter what you did, if they had their Krix drop, it worked into Kador. If they had their this, it worked into Kador. Like, and I feel like that's why they're still in Dominates. They do everything incredibly well. They do nothing to the point where they're forcing other people to fit their mold instead of the other way around.
Go ahead, Brad. What were you going to say?
So what I was going to say was I think Kador right now is one like dedicated and very strong control faster away from being defines the meta.
Yeah, but they'll never get that. That's not their. It's not their shtick.
That, I mean,
Sorcia 3.
Yeah, maybe.
The hope.
But like, regardless of like what specifically they do, I think if Kador had one specifically like control caster, I think the being defines the meta. But short of that, I don't think you can. It's Kador kind of as a whole brings a lot of very blunt weapons that if you can avoid what their strengths are, they don't really have a great way to go around it. I mean, there's at least in my opinion, not a whole lot of finesse and nuance that a lot of lists bring in.
Kador's all axe to the face. That's all they've ever been.
Right. Like, it's the Vlad 1 rockets is I'm going to shoot you at 12 to 15 rockets that have a good chance of hitting because of the one spell I have. And then when they do, we'll crank the damage. If you have stealth or if you have any other things that try to mitigate shooting, my output becomes negligible.
Right, but they can also skew to two extremes, I think, better than almost any faction that I can think of. They can go 70 infantry, 70 winter guard, Kricks or does... they can go, here's 12 heavies that
so
I'm throwing down.
So the heavies list can't play into a control caster for the most part.
It's hard to control that many jacks.
It is, but if you have a list that's designed to take on that box spam, which other factions can do, and you have that control, Kador can't play into that for the most part. And the 70 Winter Guard list, while yes, it's absolutely a ridiculous list.
Damn you, Schwanky.
One, it's one list, and it does have some hard counters to it. And with Krix and stuff, Krix can do that better. They really can.
I'm just saying they could. But you could run a better Jax. But my point was, you could go both ways better than I think.
The other person factions. Gets two lists.
I think
too,
Krix,
though.
Sure, Krix could do infantry spam better.
But that's my point though. So if you've got a worry for Krix, whatever your drop for Krix is going to work into the Kador infantry spam, and that's why I don't think they're meta defining because somebody's already defining it. They're just playing in that shadow now.
All right, so we are 3 for dominate and 1 for challenges. Right?
Get wrecked. Yep.
I think it's just because Grant.
No, wait. I put them in defines, not challenges.
You put them in defines, which is what we're bashing.
Yeah, that
down
was what
for.
The debate was about.
The reasons behind it is because Signar Grant's faction can't kill Kador heavies.
Yes, I mean that is the reason.
The reason is
because he's taken his Haley 2 control list, and I've thrown Jax down his throat and killed him almost every time.
it's tricky, but I don't think that's why. But that's fine, you fuckers. Pete, start us off with Krix.
Krix,
they're my thing.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna defer to too. Third, being the intern. So Mr. Brad, please.
I was only joking.
Don't do it, man.
All right,
because I'm going to agree with you.
So I think we'd be insane to say they don't define the meta. I don't know what counter argument can really exist that they don't. They had a fall off in the beginning of Mark III because a lot of things that Krix did that were probably way too strong in Mark II didn't do, the same things. So learning how to play the faction over was not what a lot of people wanted to do. They just wanted to keep applying Asphyxius 1 to the face and using Bile Thralls to kill two whole units at a time. They just wanted to keep throwing Scar 1 into things with 30 Bane Knights, but, I mean, pre-Sadie Bane Knights didn't really do what they used to. There was a large readjustment period. But what ended up happening because of it is you had players trying new things, which then comes to the point we're at now, where in trying new things you have Ghost Fleet, where Revenant crew are running the show, a unit that was never seen in Mark II, and prior to Ghost Fleet becoming what it is, was laughable still in Mark III, but are now at the forefront of people's thoughts of what they do to play against it. Combined with the fact, of course, that Denegra 1 didn't really get any worse between the additions. If anything, she got better because she gained the spell Dark Seduction, which opens up a couple different avenues of play. And then their other control casters, short of maybe Denegra 2, kept their power levels approximately the same. Coven feat against range lists can still be ball busting. With Dark Host release, Banes are now back on the menu. And there's different casters that play them tremendously well. And then there's nothing, even with those two, Ghostfleet being the clear front runner of asking your opponent questions, Dark Host being a list that does what it wants to do tremendously well. Behind them, and the worst right now, which is only due to comparison, is Infernal Machines, which is a very, very solid theme force in giving Mechanithral's Ambush and the Jax hyper-aggressive. So you have lists built around Assassination and like a Coven Infernal Machines list running, you know, anywhere between two to four Seethers.
Yeah, that list is brutal.
Yeah, Crix right now has a tremendous amount of options, and it's almost funny to think you can make an argument that their best infantry choice in Satixis Raiders isn't in a theme. So when they come into a theme, there might only be another level of authority that they, you know, grant themselves.
So I just have to say, I mean, they were, what, 40% of the game? Something like that?
Yeah, almost
It
half.
Was just shy of 50% of the game out of 13, right? 12 at the time?
Yeah.
And they're what, like, probably sneaking back up into, like, the 30% range again?
There was the adjustment period where people had to go buy fucking Revenant Crew because nobody owned them, but...
Yeah, you don't... This is the definitive faction of that defines the meta. I mean, simple as that.
Yeah. I also obviously put them there. I just don't know how you can't. Literally, the first thing you think about when you're going to a major event is probably, do I have a Ghostfleet answer?
Point I'd like to make about Crix, though, at least in comparisons to their Mark II to Mark III state, now in Mark III, the questions that they ask are much more answerable in comparison to their questions in Mark II. Asking how you avoid a Biothrall Purge means to keep your infantry 20 inches away from all of your enemy models. Like, that's not feasible. Like, the questions of how do you beat Ghostfleet are have some sort of ranged RFP and then have some outlet to magic weapons unless you can just decimate all the Revenant crew and force incorporeal models to commit. But, like, those things are semi-reasonable and you can work around them.
Absolutely. Yes. I'm not saying because in Mark II, let's face it, they were almost a broken faction. They were as close to a broken faction as you can get without being broken.
Mm-hmm.
In Mark III, I do not feel that that's true.
Nope.
No, I 100% agree. I was looking at my second unit of Bane Riders, that I just painted up because of the Dark Host theme. So yeah, 100% agree. They are helping to define the meta as we know it now.
Right. And I think there's one thing to say about the strength of, how theme forces are designed, which is why I'm just to jump back, kind of excited to see what happens out of that Doom Reaver and Turnian theme. And what I mean by that is that even in the Bane theme, there's only effectively three units in it that you can take: Bane Riders, Knights, and Warriors. And there's a list that I saw that was Terminus with 30 Bane Knights. There are lists I've seen that run two Bane Warriors with their UAs, and like either a unit of Knights or Riders. There's some lists that just use double Riders.
Yeah, I'll say two Riders seems good.
Right, like what I'm getting at though is that even within this one theme force, there is so much direction that the list can go. And I think that's a direct comparison and counter argument to like where Ghostfleet's at, where the list is kind of the same caster to caster to caster to caster. You know, Dark Host, the only thing that's true in Dark Host is that Banes get Prowl and you'll have two clouds. The models in it will almost be different every time.
Right. Nope. Totally. So, yep. Crix defines the meta. We're all in agreement there. So, let's move on to Retribution. Yeah. Go. Yeah. Pete, you start us off with Ret.
I hate to continue the Ret lifting up, but I feel like they are in the defining the meta category. The Helios is Helios, right? That's the,
yeah.
the colossal.
Yep, that's the guy.
Yeah, he is definitely a force. He or she is a force to be reckoned with. They just got a big dump of new releases with their command book. You know, we're partial to Retribution over here because of he who shall not be named. So
I think
yeah,
that actually does his ego more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should at least go with it for the rest of this one. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I'm in.
So, yeah, no, Retribution, I definitely feel they are meta-defining.
So I tried to temper myself after what happened on the last one where I was like, oh, my God, Ret. I moved them down into Dominates, although I'm teeter-tottering. I think they're on the high end of Dominates. But They're very good. They're very strong. Helios is great, and they have a theme list that you probably need to be thinking about with Fyros 2 and all the Jax. The new stuff, while some of it is good, I think it's still uncharted waters. They do have some good faction. They do have some good casters, but I'm super worried about the. Did they get their House Guard theme yet? They did, right?
No.
No. Okay. Well, when they get that, I'm gonna be really worried with fucking Halbs. But right now, and honestly, I think when that comes out, they're going to make the jump. But right now, to me, I think they're in the Dominates.
I'm in the same boat. I put them in Dominates, half because I have to temper my horror of Retribution. But I also think that right now, while they have all of the fun toys and everything that just got released, I hasn't filtered its way into the meta yet. They definitely are in the Dominates thing. I think they're not quite in the same boat as Kador, that they can do things incredibly well but not define what they do. I think they're right on the cusp of that, but I think they fall below it. I think that while they are incredibly good at jamming stuff, while they're incredibly good with their guns, while they have a ton of flexibility to what they can bring, and that they don't necessarily have any bad options, I feel like they're missing that little kick into the defines the meta.
Yeah, I have them in Dominates as well. And it's for reasons different than already stated. I don't consider myself to be a good enough player to necessarily contend at major conventions. I'm kind of lucky if I qualify for day two. But whenever I'm thinking about a list pair I want to bring, or even to Sunday Steamrollers, there's a couple lists or specific casters I think about that I have to be certain that I have an answer for. And Retribution. What am I saying? Retribution,
yeah,
is,
that's who we're talking about.
Yeah, Retribution is not one of the first three lists that I think of. And I don't know how many factions you can put into defines the meta before nothing defines the meta. So for that, I have to put them in Dominance. I think they're still very strong. I think that they're almost at no disadvantage, but I think for what it does to all the other armies and list pairs around them, I don't think that it's shaping what's in them.
Yeah. Yep, same deal.
Convergence, I put them in the 50-50. I could even go a little lower. I think they're being completely propped up by a theme list
there's no question about it. Without that theme list, they're one of the worst. They are the worst faction in
however,
the game.
That theme list gives them some much needed answers into a lot of things. Lucant is always good, even though he's telegraphed. The Tep is still great.
Yep.
The Axiom's great. Yep. And you know, Mother is pretty decent now. Synth, like, you have some decent options.
All of the casters except for Aurora have something they can do to you and touch you.
They're
in a
playable,
bad place.
Right?
Absolutely. I also put them in the 50-50. I think that if you give them the game they want, like a gun line that can't crack armor. Like, there's games where they can be absolutely ball busting into and take one of the big boys and just put him in a trash can and close the lid. But at that same point, they have absolutely no answer to Ghost Fleet, not a reliable one. And they will suffer into some of the stuff that you know you're going to see. Plus, there's not a lot of people playing them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bigfoot sighting, and I'm going to go with a different reason than what you're saying. Even with the theme force you're saying is propping them up, within a list pair, there isn't much of any diversity. If I'm playing into Convergence, I'm generally playing into a ranged heavy, high box, high armor list that if I can mitigate those, couple things, the game is probably not that far out of reach.
The other thing, too, is that literally Convergence has absolutely nothing they can do into Crix at all.
Right, well, maybe Dark Host, but I agree with you into Ghost Fleet. But I mean, seriously, regardless of the faction, not even talking about Crix, I think if a faction can mitigate your ranged output and is able to deal with armor, those two things exist by and large in a lot of factions. I mean, we just mentioned Kane 3 a moment ago. The difference, though, with Kane 3, who's playing a very similar game, is that he's probably paired with Storm Division or things that aren't also a lot of warjacks with guns.
Yep. Pete, obligatory cock joke.
I don't have one. I put him in Bigfoot sighting. So I think what we'll do is we'll put him in Bigfoot sighting, but we'll put an asterisk on there because we were split down the middle.
I mean, honestly, they would be, if I was ranking the tier in 50-50, they'd be at the bottom. So, I mean, you could put them in Bigfoot sighting since I was outvoted there. I have no issues with that. Ryan, Mercs.
Mercs. I have them in challenges. I don't know, you really don't see them at all. It's kind of one of those weird things. I think that they're in a place where they have some interesting answers into some of the stuff that's going on right now. I think that they have the diversity to fit just about anywhere. And not a lot of people are playing them, though, that I've been able to see. So they might end up falling back down into 50-50. But I really think that there's a lot of interesting stuff there that should put them up into Challenger.
Brad.
Yep, still agree with Ryan. I think they are in challenges. And I kind of missed, I'll be honest with you, the description we gave to each category at the beginning of the podcast. But at least what it means to me and the reason I'm going with that ranking is that the options they have can be strong. I think you can build some very, very interesting list pairs and one that asks tremendously different questions across the two lists. But I think a lot of what mercenaries have to do comes down to player skill. I think you can very easily lose to mercenary players, or if you are the mercenary player, I think if you are able to do what your list wants to, that you're not really all that disadvantaged, if you can effectuate what your list wants to do. But at the same time, the list by itself isn't, the list isn't going to play itself, what I'm getting at. Like the other factions we put into Dominate, you bring one of the stronger lists, and you, assuming that you have a semblance of how this game is played, can almost kind of take a step back and just let the army play itself.
And even with the list building, right? Like it's a lot more telegraphed with some of these other lists build themselves.
Well,
mercs.
I don't think that's necessarily a strength of the faction. I think that
No, it wasn't. Sorry, I didn't mean it to be a positive thing.
Yeah, like mercenaries, there's challenges that come in list building because there are, three or four different factions effectively, like
correct,
within mercenaries. Yeah. That being said, though, that difficulty in list building, because you don't have the options to all of your models in your faction at any given point, can also work to your advantage, because when building a list pair, you now have the opportunity to go in completely different directions. A mercenary's list pair that consists of like pirates and cephalics, compared to a list pair that consists of like all the steelheads and the dwarves, I can't think of the name, Rulik, will play almost like completely different factions. On tabletop in list building, I think the player standing behind the army is much more important than the actual physical models they bring on the table.
Pete, where are you at with mercs?
I put them in 50-50 only because it was a visibility thing. Brad brought up a lot of good points. There for a while, the Ossian, or no, Osram.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Bunny Osram. Ranch. All the gun bunnies.
Bunny Ranch.
Yep.
The thing is, Osram didn't get any worse. It's just that Ghost Fleet doesn't really care about that Osram list.
Well, that was also a gun line, right? And you've seen a good amount of the gun lines kind of fell off. Not all of them, but there was a bunch. We kind of went through the period where they were like the hotness.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of fell off a little. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's one of those things. I base my list off of my personal beliefs, and I'm just not seeing a lot of Burks.
Mm-hmm.
I did finally get all my Cephalics painted, and I put them on the shelf. I'm going to play them, but I don't know when.
I was going to say, I think the Cephalics, all the dudes, and still having the four heavies that are fucking kind of raunchy, I think that list might actually have a lot of legs now.
Yeah, so at the Sioux, I played a guy that was playing Siphon, and it had, I think, like somewhere in the range of 40 to 50 drudges, and then it still had, I think it was four heavies, although it could have been five.
Yeah.
And like that was a nightmare.
Was that the game you came down to 5 seconds for like each of you?
I actually played him twice through the weekend. So I played him once in Iron Gauntlet, and yes, that's the one you're talking about. But then we also,
I played him again
in the team tournament. But like the list is just good, especially with the whole ambushing unit. So it's going wide against that many guys isn't really an option. So you're standing in the middle of your own table, getting, swarmed upon.
Yep. I also put them in 50-50. Same thing, visibility. Kingmaker list is great with piloted by the right player. After that, while they do have some okay options, there's not anything else that anyone's talking about going well, what if I do if I see this? It's fucking Kingmaker and that's it. I think when you see some of the more themes, like I think in a couple months, we're going to have a whole nother conversation with Mercs. But yep. right now, it's just not there.
Yep. So I'll throw them in 50-50 with an asterisk.
Yeah, that's interesting. Seems right.
fine. All right, so on to hordes. I suppose I'll start with trolls. I put them in the Bigfoot sighting because they're just not there. People aren't playing them. They don't have the good theme. They don't have a lot of good options right now. I think that's going to change when the CID goes through with some of the changes they made. I really think the trolls will be in a good interesting place, but I mean, honestly, you can go to a convention and outside of like for the painting purposes, you could not see trolls at all.
So I have them in Bigfoot as well. I think as far as if we were judging this just on power level and not necessarily on what we see on forums, what we see on the internet, stuff like that, what we see at conventions, I think that they'd be in challenges. I think they've got plenty of power level. I think that when Madrak got nerfed, I think that almost like the, not, I don't want to say it was as massive as like the Crix 3 Mark 2 to Mark 3, but I think that knocked off of people. A lot of people were just like, well, what the fuck do I do now? I think there are answers in there. But yeah, you don't see them. And I don't know that the faction's getting enough legs to really find some of the new
just
stuff.
Real quick, cause we got to do keep moving. Trolls are just such a vocal and seem like community that like, I don't see it. I feel like they would have gone back to the drawing board. They'd have found it if it was there.
Maybe,
I just feel like it isn't. Brad, trolls, where are they at?
Bigfoot sighting. Nothing new to add. They're just... I think the North CID may change it. It might not. They're just kind of blah.
Yep, Pete.
Bigfoot sighting. But I think Northkin theme is going to probably escalate them to challenges in the future.
Circle. I put them in challenges. I think that while they're missing a lot of stuff, and it may not be Circle Christmas anymore, I think that Kaya 3 and Wormwood is still an amazing control caster. Kaya 3 still does something that Circle loves doing with the hypermobility going on. And they have a lot of really solid answers. I mean, Stickmen are still fucking gross. And Stickmen with Hand of Fate on them are still absolutely bonkers. I mean, it's not Tuna and the original Wormwood, but I think that they're still very strong. They have answers for just about everything. And again, they're one of these factions where if you let them play their game, they're going to walk all over you.
Yeah, so for me, a little different. I have them 50-50. I could be convinced they go to challenges, but for one very specific reason. And that reason is that they're warlocks that are already fairly popular are accidentally good into Ghost Fleet. Short of their ability to answer what is potentially the list that is defining the meta, you know, the most single-handedly. Outside of that, their strengths are fairly blasé. I mean, the threat ranges that we're kind of used to seeing out of Circle from Mark II just don't exist. They're a completely different faction that I don't think has 100% found their identity yet. Yeah, you know, I don't know if there's one definitive, like, Circle Warlock that you see continually in every pair. For a little bit, it was Wormwood. Una 2 came out and was obviously, like, pushed and a little over the top. So that was scaled back. Wormwood is, I think, back to a very reasonable power level. But there's nothing too insane that he's doing. And short of those two, I don't think you find another Warlock that has a stronger game. Well, Una 2 is kind of dead in the water. But I don't think you have any Warlock that has, like, a stronger game than Wormwood or any other caster, and that doesn't make a very convincing Steamroller pair.
Pete?
100% agree. I put them in the 50-50 as well. I made a run with Circle for a while, and it was very difficult. All of their caster or Warlocks are great, but the tools available to them, I feel like the Warbeast are overcosted. Mm-hmm. The Wolds don't do enough for what they... you know, for their points. So yeah, they need some help. I'm really excited about the Stone Shaper change that's going to be coming up with the ability to give them +2 strength. And, mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what theme forces they come out.
Yeah, I put them in the challenges, but kind of same thing. They're on the back end of that for me. I think they still have Wormwood. If you're not ready, while he did get toned down a lot, you can just lose. and there's still some hard skews with the Balder Woldrath, mm-hmm. and what's the other who's the other one? Who else has been not skew, but Kruger 2, I think is still good in 2017.
To be, if we're taking it as a snapshot, and they have a direct answer to a lot of what Crix wants to do, doesn't that automatically push them up just a little bit?
No,
because you, if you don't play against Ghost Fleet, right, you're not doing much.
Then what are you doing?
Okay,
yeah.
Fair.
I agree. They do have some good casters, but the beasts are expensive. So, I mean, again, with some themes, I think they could be there, but they're just, and they could certainly compete, but right now they're just, they're not.
The other thing to keep in mind is that maybe short of like a Gore Shade 2 Dark Host, because it plays a very similar game to Ghost Fleet in its manner of recursion, the list that you as a Circle player bring that really has an upper hand over Ghost Fleet will likely not have as convincing of an upper hand against the other list.
Agreed.
Mm, okay. So,
Brad, start us off with Legion.
So, Legion I have in Defiance, which now makes the third faction I have in Defiance and is kind of the checklist that I run through when I build a list pair. Can I answer these three things? One of which we said was Signar, the other which I think is Crix because of Ghost Fleet's popularity, and the third one being now Legion, and I think it is on the backs of one very specific list and one very specific Warlock in Fianna 2 and Oracles. While I think it may be potentially unfair to have a whole faction go up to Defiance due to not only one list but one Warlock, the list pairs that go with Fianna, you can have one of any 10 Warlocks be the list that you bring with Fianna. And I think that depth and option is what makes it so that they can go into Defiance. If the list pair was just Fianna and X, then I think that they might not have the strength that they are because the things you have to answer become much less numerous. But with the amount of other strong Warlocks that exist in Legion to go alongside Fianna, I think that her strengths have to push her into Defiance the meta.
So originally I had her in Dominates, but or Legion in Dominates, but listening to Brad, I'm definitely going towards Define the Meta. I completely forgot about this, but there for a while we were keeping track of games, and my wife, Trish, out of 13 tournament games from consecutive Steamrollers, she faced Fianna 7 times. So
Holy shit.
Yeah. So she definitely has a Fianna 2 drop in her pairing now.
To be fair, this was when she was still playing Kador?
She still is, yeah.
Okay, because yeah. Then that's, I mean, Legion almost has to play Oracles into Kador.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Sorsha 1, really good.
Sorsha 1, 2 gun carriages. That's what she's doing.
So I also put them in Dominates, Pete, and the reason I didn't put them in Defines the Meta is because I know Crix is up there, but I think the other options in Crix outside of Ghost Fleet put them there as well. But Legion is literally being propped up by Fianna and Oracles. And even though that is the list besides Ghost Fleet that you go through and go in your checklist of, am I prepared for this? To me, that's just not enough. They need something else. They have a couple other good casters, but to me, it just isn't enough to get up there. Again, they would be right there in the border, but I got to dump somebody. I don't want to have more than three people in Defiance the Meta, and the rest of them, to me, just have more than one caster.
So for me, Legion is the absolute pinnacle of Dominates, and it is because I feel like there are some answers into Oracles, but they fit other problems too.
If I can ask both, Ryan and Grant a question, both of you guys a question. When it comes to thinking of a list pair and what you need to answer, trying to take out of the equation necessarily who lives in our immediate meta. Let's say you're traveling like up north or down to Delaware for a steamroller outside of the immediate one that we're in. Are you more worried about the Retribution pair or the Legion pair of Fianna and X?
Legion, but I also didn't have Retribution.
Rhett's not in my Dominate, so. In my Define.
I thought for sure it was. Who was your other faction?
I only have two. I have Signar and Crix.
Mine's Crix, Kador, Signar. Oh. And then I had Legion and Rhett and Dominates.
My apologies. So,
no, that's okay. I am more worried
about Legion than I am about Rhett, but I still think that they fall into the Dominate. Now, part of that is because most of what I'm thinking of when I'm going is from a Convergence perspective at the moment and just keeping my feet wet in the Kador pool. But yeah, Convergence, I don't know. I still have them in dominates. I think they're very strong. I think they're incredibly. I think the flexibility they have in the faction, and that's I've said it before because this is one of the things that I think defines the dominate category, is that yes, Oracles is propping them up, but I'll tell you right now, if you're not ready for a Thagrosh 1 list with a beast heavy list, you're in a lot of trouble.
It's just, to me, it isn't something I have to think about. I think Dark Host is already at the place where you already have to start thinking about that as well. I don't think I have to go, well, I got a Ghost Fleet Ant, I can handle that, but I what am I going to do with what they pair it with? I don't know.
I think that they, as a faction, they have an incredible amount of flexibility around that list that is quote-unquote propping the faction up, which is why I think they are dominates. I don't think that they are a meta-defining list, though.
So, I mean, just to kind of keep hammering home on the reason I put Legion in defined is when I'm building my list pair, the two things above and beyond anything else that I'm considering when I'm building the list is, does one of these two answer Ghost Fleet? And then check the box when I can say yes. And then the second question is, does one of these two have a game into Fianna? Like, those are the two things I'm considering. Kind of everything else you kind of figure out while you're playing. But I think not having an answer to Fianna is like a miserable, miserable game.
No, I agree. I just happen to play a faction that already has a pretty good answer to her. And maybe I was biased by that, but...
Well, so we're split 2-2, so we'll put it in dominates with an asterisk, because that's been the convention that we've been doing.
That seems fine.
No, that seems fine. And I'll be honest, I do think that, especially depending on what themes come out, Legion is in a place to become a meta-defining faction. It's just not there yet.
Honestly, if I wasn't that I didn't want to put four factions in there, like, if I could just take Oracles and put it there, like, sure. But to me, I'm trying to look big picture at the whole faction. And I agreed, Brad. It's there. It's in the two things you think about. And I know maybe that's enough, but for me, because even with Ghost Fleet, you have to think about the other casters that can run it. You're not really worried about Oracles with anybody outside of Fianna.
Right, but I don't know if that necessarily matters, like when you're considering what you have to play against, especially now maybe that not. DNC doesn't exist. So there's never a pressure on your opponent to play their other lists at any given point. Like, they can play Fianna all day if it's the right answer.
I can't have four factions and dominates, so I'm locked in. I can't change it. I'm sorry.
I used the wrong faction when I asked it, but when you're considering a list pair, is Legion the one that you're worried about more than Kador? For me, the answer is no. Like, it's not even close. Like, Legion is the one that actually
Your answer. Your answer is yes to your own question, but yes.
I'm sorry. Right. Right. Yes. I was going to say. That's backwards. Yeah. But, like, it's not even close. Like, I have to consider what I had to play into Legion much more than what I'm playing into Kador.
Yeah. Look, I mean, you're not necessarily wrong, and I think there's a lot of people that would agree with that. I'm not giving up until
you agree with me.
I can't. I can't. I don't think they're there. We're also running short on time, so we are going to have to move on.
We'll continue this fight later.
2-2 with an asterisk. To be fair, I think Chain Attack also put them.
Oh my god, let's go!
I'm just saying.
I didn't listen to it.
Next is Scorn.
Scorn, go ahead, Pete.
Scorn, I'm gonna throw them in challenges. I think they had a good change with their reshaping. So you know, every Scorn match that I've faced so far, after the change has definitely been a challenge. So I think that's where they're at.
Yeah, I agree. I think everything that changed has been for the better, and they're interesting. They have some answers, and I think with a few more themes, I also put them in challenges. I think they're a good faction.
I did as well. I think they are literally, so for all of these, I think they are the cricks of the challenges group. I think that they perfectly embody what that subset was for me, as far as they have a little bit of flexibility of what they have. They've got some really powerful options, but nothing really like pushing them into a holy shit kind of area.
Sure. Brad?
Challenges. So that there's not a whole lot for me to base that off of. I not only do we not necessarily like have a local Scorn player, but even when traveling to Steamrollers, they're not, you know, all too easy to find. And then, so I kind of have to base it upon what I can deduce from looking through the different casters, or I'm sorry, the different Warlocks and Warbeasts and units, and they seem like they have different and strong choices and ways to build list pairs that present some nice challenges to opponents. But, I mean, I could probably even convince to put them down to 50-50 for nothing more than how frequently and often you see them, or at least for us locally.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think they're bad. I just think that they have a little bit of a tough time picking up steam after how rocky of a beginning they had to Mark 3.
Yep. And lastly, I mean, I didn't do Grimkin. We'll get into that in a second. But minions, I put them in Bigfoot sighting. Again, I really thought they were going to start out strong. And to me, it just kind of came down. I just think they're just missing some stuff to put them over the top. It's just not there between the two, even mixing the two things, the gators and pigs together. They just don't have enough.
I also put them in Bigfoot sighting. I think that as far as power level goes, they're at the same point as Trollbloods, where they could easily be a challenging faction, but they're missing something, and they're just not getting played. You just don't see them.
Yeah, I mean, I'd also go with the same placement. I could definitely see them in 50-50, but they're, like you said, they're missing something. I think at the beginning of Mark III and beginning to even prior all the theme list, Rask and the Journeyman Academy kind of held the faction on its shoulders. And the other list you brought was just because you kind of had to.
If Jason Lucas isn't playing minions, nobody should.
Well, someone's going to, and I convinced them to keep doing it. But
good job.
Right now, I just think they're missing something. That being said, that Dracodile does look sweet.
It looks pretty sexy. Pete?
Yeah, I put him in Bigfoot sighting. You know, obviously, we hit all the high points. The changes to power attack throws really hurt him. Yes, you can mix your pigs and gators, but now we're in a theme force world where you can't mix pigs
you
and
can't
gators.
Mix them.
great point, Pete.
You know, and there was that reveal of the Scorn theme, which is going to play minions better than minions.
Again.
So, yeah, I think Bigfoot sighting.
So, Pete, I'll let you. I did not do Grimkin because to me, they're just too new. I haven't seen them. I have no place where to put them.
I feel like we have to put Grimkin on here. And I think you can make some really interesting points even without playing against them.
I mean, okay, if I was going to guess, I would throw them in challenges.
They're dominates.
I have no reason.
I think they're in dominates.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys?
So I'm going with dominates. I think the Arcana system is incredibly powerful, especially if the player that's running the Grimkin is a little bit of a stronger player than the opponent. The Arcana will traditionally go off when you want them to. And then even outside of what the Warlocks bring to the table in the Arcana system, their War Beasts, I think, are the most accurately costed War Beasts that exist in Hordes across the entire entire side of the game.
If you look at a 14-point Cage Rager and you look at any other beast in the game and you go, what the fuck? And I'm not saying that the Cage Rager is underpriced.
Right.
But I don't even know what you do to the other beasts. Like, I don't think a Mauler should just be cheaper. But it's so appropriate for what it can do in comparison to War Machine. And then the Arcana system itself. If you have a small gap in player skill, I think that if the small gap is on the Grimkin side, like they're a little bit better player, the gap that's going to appear in the game is massive. And I think if they're dead even, I think that especially in the part of this is because it's the brand new faction, not everybody's going to have it, yada, yada, yada. But I think that the knowledge gap there is going to be massive, and it's going to show up on the table.
So I have them in challenges, but I'm easily swayed and moved them up to dominate. They, you know, brand new faction. They're not fully released, so what you have available to you is a limited subset, but it's damn good with what's out there.
Yeah, I think challenges or dominates are easily, because I think on the flip side of it, if the player going against Grimkin has a semblance of an idea of what they do and is also a stronger player, the Arcana are never going to be able to be used to their full potential, which kind of puts you on the back foot. I think it's kind of easy to see if you were to bring a traditional Warlock or Warcaster that has a control feat, you use your feat when it's the most beneficial time to do so, and you just gain the benefit. When you're playing Grimkin, your opponent dictates when you're able to do the controlling measures. So if I'm able to activate those items last so they have the least amount of impact, I'm going to do that.
All right, so that's where we got everybody. We'll revisit this in a couple months once all these themes come out and everybody gets settled, but I think that was a fun exercise.
Real quick, before we go, because it was brought up, I think Brad said something about they're not bad, but they're, besides Convergence, which I feel is a bad faction without that, we take the Theme Force away, and even with the Theme Force, they're so one-dimensional that I feel that they're in a bad spot. Is there a quote unquote bad faction? Is anybody really in a bad spot?
So by bad, I think you have to define what you mean by bad. My definition of what you mean by it is that really no matter what kind of list you'd bring, or if you take the faction and try to build the strongest list you can out of it, that it doesn't really have the ability to play against a majority of lists. So with that criteria, I don't think there's any faction that is a bad faction. I mean, if you build like the strongest Lucant list you can, there are going to be many factions, or I shouldn't say many factions, but many lists you would bring in the Steamroller pair that would have a difficult time playing into it. Or you could go to Minions. That was the other one I think we put down there. If you were to build, say, the strongest Rask list or the strongest Barnabas list you can, I think there are some factions that'll have a difficult time. Like Infantry Spam does not want to have everything get knocked down. For Barnabas, for example. For Trolls, if you don't have a good answer for Tough, I think Madrak 3 can just run over some people.
I think that, and the other thing to point out is that the disparity between all of them is much smaller than it was in,
well,
say,
that's,
Mark
that's 2. That's kind of what just, I'm just getting in at. General. Is, I feel like, as a game, they have gotten incredibly close to getting that balanced, unbalanced game.
I think the difference between, like, Challenges and Bigfoot Sighting, or even Dominates and 50-50, which is two tiers apart each, I think is pretty, could
almost
be pretty
nothing,
close.
Yeah.
I mean, they could be one release,
yep,
one theme force away from yep, jumping.
I just wanted to get that on the mic.
No, I think
seems,
that's, I think that's,
I will
point,
say, though, even with as powerful as a Lucant list you can build, I think Convergence in its limited state is very one-dimensional, and I think that will always put it down a step from where it could be, and I'm glad that the Arcana system for Grimkin, I don't think they'll ever get to that point because they have so much more flexibility just from the Arcana system.
Not. And I actually hope they make it into the Dominate / Define, because I think that would be that would mean they did a great job with the faction. Any last thoughts?
No, I think with the new theme forces coming out, I think the meta will reshape, not necessarily because lists are the strongest that they can potentially be, but I think player interest will drive strong players into what interests them. Which will then convince the players that kind of look to tournament standings that is the strongest list.
All right. Well, let us know what you think. Let us know on Facebook. Tell Brad how wrong he is about Legion. And check out Not Snakes Gaming. That. Ryan just wanted me to plug that. So, yeah. Tell Brad how wrong he is and why Legion isn't in defining because of one list. I'm Grant.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Third.
I'm Pete.
Thanks for listening.